Anem a començar l'última ponència. Irà a càrrec del senyor Andras Cech. És arquitecte, professor de la Universitat Széchenyi i Sztrávy d'Hongria. El títol és In Between, creant espais amb fusta.
Bona tarda a tothom. My name is Andras Cech. I'm coming from Hungary, and today I'm going to be representing CITA Architects, my architecture office, the university where I teach, as you've heard, Széchenyi István, and the University of MOME, where I'm doing my doctoral thesis. When I thought of this day and talking about wood, I thought of architecture as we are creating primarily spaces. And for me, it's always the second to focus on the materials. So, and why are we talking about wood? And I believe that it's human-like qualities, the life cycle that we can understand, we can see a tree grow, or the scale of it, we can measure it to ourselves, or the features, that it's not a boring mass, it has different features, branches, and we can all recognize this when it comes to timber as well. And of course, when working with wood, it's interactive, it's real time, and it's a continuous feedback. So today, I would like to bring a few examples from my professional life, working with kids, with students, and at the office as well. So these different institutions, different ages, different scales, and different situations where we used wood. My doctoral thesis is how to teach kids about their built environment, so architecture education for children. And I realized that the theoretical approach is never enough when it comes to dealing with space, either with kids or at university. So I'm sorry if I'm going to repeat anything that you've heard today, but I didn't really understand what the other teachers were talking about, so you might hear something twice, but that means that it's the same in Hungary as well. So basically we live our lives in a built environment and we don't understand space, and therefore I realized that we should start learning it very early, and this practical approach, like creating space, is the best way to understand it and experience it. So learning by doing for kids is the approach towards architecture. So they can experience it with their own hands and with their own body. And I realized that it wasn't a conscious decision from me to approach the whole architecture through wood or timber, but we did anyway, because we could find it in its natural environment with the kids. We had this task that they had to measure how big is a bush, and we went out, they tried to measure it by their own bodies, by themselves, but then we took it in the house and we took it apart. We made projections on the wall, they drew it, so they've learned about 2D, 3D, and of course using very simple tools like saws, but still for a six-year-old it's really mesmerizing to use a saw and take it apart. And through this we've learned about natural and artificial order and the comparison between the two. What are the similarities? What can we learn from nature that we later on can use in our structures? And of course, it's a good lot of fun, it's playing around. And we were surprised when we laid down all the leaves and all the fruits and all the branches that actually that small bush was longer than 1 kilometer. Somehow we could measure it only by making it in an artificial order. And after that, we tried to reuse this material. So we tried to learn about how to use the material, how to use all the material that's sufficient, that's there for us. And they tried to create a spatial structure almost as big as the original bush. Of course, that was impossible for them, but they have learned how to knot it together, and by the end we totally transformed this whole bush into a different order and a more built-like structure in 2D or in 3D. And they've learned about texture, structure, and they tried not to leave leftovers, so a bit consciousness about the environment. Then we moved out, and in the forest we tried to find this kind of building material and build archetypes of building. So just looking at us and discovering our basic human needs and why did we start building at all in the first place. So this shelter and the lookout tower were the first ones. Of course, they are living with computers. They are not really playing outside. So even with a basic node, they have problems. They have to learn everything again. But they are really innovative when they got into it. So for example, the connection you see on the right side, they invented that they braid the rush that they find, because they said that, okay, we've learned about not to leave any trash, but then we don't want to leave any trash, not even the ropes, when this structure collapses in the forest. So we only use what we find, we don't cut anything down. If we are lucky, there is a storm and there is a almost living tree or with some leaves still. But we use the branches, the barks, the leaves, everything. And it's interesting for them to work, because at school they are not used to teamwork, they are not used to physical work at all. And when it comes to archetypes, somehow they always have a need for a spiritual building. They call this one the church. It's a dome made out of willow rods. It's like a wicker that the rods are woven together. But of course we use it as timber as well. The most basic play things are just timber blocks for children to play around. But it's already the processed material. It's already something artificial. They feel that somehow it's closer to the construction that, for example, their dad goes to. So this basic tool of construction helps them understand gravity and really basic physical laws. But we try to step it up in scale, because they can play around with these blocks at home, and it's always an interesting thing, even for me, not just for the kids, to work with real tools, because as an architect, I'm used to sit at the table, draw by hand for a while, then draw by computer, but when I can feel the material, it's a totally different experience, and it's really uplifting. And for them, when they see that they use the same tools as their fathers or as the big ones, then it's becoming more serious, and maybe they take it a bit more seriously. So we built this tower, but because we didn't want to leave any leftovers, it was easy because all the leftovers became the base of the tower, and we could work in two teams. Some university students helped out, and then we set up the tower at the end of the workshop on its location. This workshop was a parallel workshop with university students and small children in a Hungarian village. And now I turn to the next project that you already see on this picture that's standing there, made by our students from the university, which is a small marketplace. We looked around in the neighboring villages to Győr, and we found a village that has an existing situation next to the small shop. Next to the small shop, people are selling their stuff on the ground a few days a week. And the mayor of the village was really keen to have a small marketplace. So it was an ideal scale for us at the university to somehow find a solution for this village, but also find a solution that we can build by our own hands. So the students learn a lot and gain spatial experience themselves, as your students do during those workshops. Of course, they learn a lot when it's becoming real, because you have to really fit to the site. It's not just on paper anymore. You have to fit in the site physically, but also socially. You have to go to the village, talk to the people, and try to find out what they would like, what they would accept. And we made a competition for our students at the university, looking for ideas for a small marketplace. And of course, the winning proposal was something different. As in many cases in architecture, it's something different. It's the one who takes the chance and goes into inventing fields and tries to find something different. And this is a sculpture-like approach. So when it's open, it works like a marketplace, but when it's closed, it's just a wall there. Actually finishing a place that wasn't really finished. Something was missing from that place. After the winning proposal was announced, the students who made it have been working close together with the teachers to make a detailed plan, and of course with some alterations that were needed. So by the summer, we built this last summer, by the summer we had the detailed plan, and we tried to prepare the material well, and we had some prefabricated elements, not a lot, but a few, so at least they learn about the advantages and disadvantages of this prefabrication. Of course, when you draw it on paper, every millimeter counts, but when you go outside, I remember that one of the students who were building or who were designing it complained that it's actually 1 centimeter longer than we planned it to be. And it's a really big problem, because we had the foundations and it's really difficult to fit it perfectly where it's needed. But of course, 1 centimeter with this structure is nothing, so it was actually quite punctual. But it's important to learn about these things, because then when you go back to your details on paper, it's a different way of thinking that you're going to approach it. So, and you realize that you need additional materials, additional solutions, just like a scaffolding that you have to build yourself during construction, or the bracing, temporary bracing, so the wind doesn't tip it over. And later on, for the use, you need to make a pavement. You need all these additional structures. It's not just that simple drawing that you dreamed of when you designed the building. Again, I can't emphasize how important teamwork is, and I think it's even becoming more important for architects. So we are not the big ones who are designing by ourselves, but already at design phase, it's a bunch of people working together, and by the end we have to reach a solution, and of course for that communication skills are really important. And people say that architecture is becoming a feminine profession. Well, we had a few boys working together really hard, as you can imagine how difficult it was to fit that in. But of course, the girls were working even harder. They always made it like an equality tryout, but they had to have the hardest job, and the next day, not so much. This way, as I told you, for example, this pavement that came around, that of course people cannot sell their stuff in mud, so even though we were mainly building with wood, we had to make a concrete pavement. Basically, that was one of the hardest work, and it took a lot of time until we realized how to make it an even surface and how to work with it. But of course, with the heaviness of this work and sometimes the burden of it, comes some kind of a miracle as well when you manage and you realize that what you wanted to build, it's becoming a reality. And we had a really cheesy American film-like situation at the end. Like on the last day, there was a huge storm, and we were really afraid that we cannot protect. It wasn't finished, not everything was fixed, that we couldn't protect the structure. But of course, it went away in 15 minutes, and then we had a double rainbow for half an hour. And it really felt like a moment of celebration. Everyone was out. We were out, and people from the village came out. So it was a really strong experience of this spatial creation that's basically the main target of architecture. And it is important to create anything in space, even in small scale. So when we are teaching at university or even designing at the office, we're always making models because it's one step closer to the real thing. It's already in 3D, you can look in it, you can experience it a bit. But again, when you build it in one-to-one scale and you can experience it with your whole body, then it's a totally different thing. And I think wood is important for educational purposes this way because it is accessible. With human power, with your own hand, you can alter it, you can process it. And as I said, interactive, so it's always a feedback if you did something wrong or if you did it good. This is how it looks like when there's market time or when it's open. Actually, it fits even better with the social surrounding because the village people told us that somehow this small structure gave them identity. It not just only became a marketplace, but when it's closed, they really like it when it's closed because it reminds them of late structures where they used to keep the corn in, but still it's something modern and they're really proud of it. So it quickly became a symbol of the village. Some unexpected issues when you're designing and they're becoming true. And now I'm moving to another architectural workshop that I'm doing with some friends who are already architects at the MoMA University, and where I'm doing my doctoral thesis. It's called Hello Wood. And this workshop started off as an architectural workshop for students where every team of 6 or 7 architectural students and maybe 1 or 2 architects, young architects as leaders, received 1 kilometer of 4 by 4 centimeters wood. Basically, it's meaning 400 pieces of 2.5 meter long battens. And so it's quite an amount. And every team had 1 week to prepare something to design or come up with an idea or just experience with that material. Because already it's an amount big enough for really serious improvisations and installations. We've had this in the past 3 years. I participated in the last two. And on the second one, we were discussing between each other that the world is in a really difficult situation. And basically, we're feeling that it's a waste of the material that we receive just to have spatial installations, even though I think that it's already enough to use the wood for the students to learn about it and be more conscious when it's becoming more and more serious during the design practice. But we felt that it wasn't enough. So last year we had a social architecture workshop as part of this multidisciplinary camp. And we picked on the eastern part of Hungary, which is the poorest part, we picked six villages who were really in deep poverty, and they needed something that we could manage to build in a week out of wood. And the sustainability, when it comes to wood, of course, we always say that wood is sustainable, but it was a really difficult task to design anything that's sustainable, because for these people, this amount of wood meant about a week or 2 weeks long heating material for a few families. And when you're living in deep poverty, that's a really, really important issue. So already at the design phase, we had to think about what to design for a village. And with my team, we went to Bódvalenke. I realized that I should use more Hungarian words. You hear them. We went to Bódvalenke, where the village doesn't even have running water, tap water in the houses. So they have this central well where they get the water from. So this is the water supply of the village. And they also do the washing at this basin that was made about 20 years ago out of concrete. But as you can see, even for this basic need to clean your clothes and your stuff, the area is not very good, it's hardly approachable, it's muddy. So we realized that we wanted to make something here to help them out. And luckily for us, when we started talking with them, they told us that they have a legend. We realized later on that they made up this legend about 15 years ago. So it's not a few hundred years old legend, but the dragon is a few hundred years old that's living underneath the village and it's protecting them. Well, most of the population of these villages is gypsy population, and they live in deep poverty. So of course they're looking for their own identity, and of course they're looking for protection. And basically this dragon was the symbol of these two. So when we started the workshop, we had the exact measurements of the site. We prepared that much. When first we sat down with the students, we didn't make any designs, because I think it's even more interesting for them when they have a workshop, when they're also designing the thing that's being built later on. So we had 1 week to come up with a design and to finish it, to build it out of this 1 kilometer wood. Last year it was already international, so we had students from Austria and Slovakia as well. And basically the first 1.5, 2 days we spent there at the table, just layer of paper after layer, drawing together like this, which is really stressful. It's not you're in your own mind. You're in your own mind for 5 minutes, and then you have to discuss it with the others. And it's a really quick approach. But we also think that it's important that that you learn to make judgment calls really, really fast, and it's a good way of practicing these skills. So there were 8 students and 3 of us young architects who tried to help out. And when we had the sketches, the other team leaders, they sat down with the computer and according to the sketches, they made the exact measurements for the design for the dragon. Of course, it was a continuously evolving process. And the others, I started it with the students to build it bit after bit. And it's really interesting to see in the first days how they have the tools in their hands, and already in 1 week they learn so much and they're becoming so confident with their skills. And we have some students who are coming back for the next day, and it's already a huge difference in their experience. You can see that we prepared for the girls and we had pink screwdrivers. So it was really important that everyone has the accessory that's needed for the dresses. And okay, this Hello Wood is a really intensive workshop, usually the most intensive week of the year, because 2 days design, then building like hell. So basically every second day we are working, as I saw on your picture also, with lights until 3 in the morning, and every second day we are partying until 5 in the morning. So it's a really big mixture of this community. Last year there were 180 people participating. It's not just architecture, it's mainly. So it started off as a architecture camp where students can work with wood, but now we also have different workshops. We have film, animation, we've had upcycling workshop, and of course we are trying to work together. That's also part of the plan. And this is how we looked on the last day, and then we took the dragon and went to the site. Of course, for the social purposes, it's not that good that we didn't build it on the site, but we still wanted to keep the whole camp together, so everyone was building in one community. But when we moved to the spot, you realize that however you measured it really well and you try to do your best, the differences are there, and it's never as ideal as on paper. So there was only 45 centimeters of height difference in this spot, but it was really difficult to solve that solution. So we are very excited how the village is going to accept what we are taking them, even though we discussed it a lot of times. But it's never the same when you're just discussing it with someone who is not working with spaces and with architecture. And we were excited if we can fit it to the site. So we had to find some instant replies. We just bought some brick from a house that was torn down to have the foundation for it. But it worked, luckily it worked. And of course in the first minutes we were in the spotlight, we were kind of a movie or a theater play for the villagers. They just gathered around, they were looking at us, but it was only about 45 minutes or an hour, and everyone joined in and we started building together. And that was the first time when we realized that okay, they like it, and if they want to put some effort in it to be finished, that it means that we are on a good track, so they might accept it as we would like. And as I told you, we were worried that this pile of wood is just for fire for them. But actually before we came from the village, after we finished the dragon, a few boys, about 10 boys, and their parents came, and they said that they know about themselves that it's a pile of wood and it's really valuable, especially during winter times. But they themselves made a protection team for the dragon. So they were going to protect it throughout the whole year. And I can say that we've had quite a tough winter in Hungary, but 2 weeks ago, this dragon was completely full and nothing was missing. So we said that if it's there until winter time, we are happy, but it's still there. And they're expecting to to renew it and maybe paint it in the spring. So it's a lot of layers that have been put together during this workshop. And we really enjoyed how it all fell into its place. And of course it's the most important meeting point of the village, since everyone is coming here for water. So we wanted to have a bench where they can sit down, where they can rest. And actually they said that it feels like the dragon is protecting their water supply, which was really nice to hear that they received that kind of protection that they wanted to have. And so it's woven in. The tail is for the entrance, and then you have the deck where you can do the washing or where you can approach the tap. And there is the bench where you can sit down, or on the spine you can hang your big carpets that you don't want to take home or it's heavy. You just put there to dry. And we really wanted to have a playground for the kids. And as you can see, it works like that. And we tested it. So like seven of us were standing on the spine of the head and it didn't collapse. So we are not worried that these small children will break it. And now I would like to step it up in scale again. I would like to introduce a wooden chapel that we designed at Tita Architects, the architect's office in Győr, where I'm working, which is a part of a pilgrim center. And we were lucky not just to be able to design this pilgrim center, but to build the chapel as well. This was kind of my first project because I started it working on it at the office while I was still a student before my final project at university. So just a few sentences about Pannonhalma. It's a Benedictine abbey on the northwestern part of Hungary, and it was founded in 1996. So it means that it's been there for more than 1,000 years now. It's a continuous tradition, and it's located on Tricolis, is the three hills that you can see on the picture. And basically, we received a commission to build a pilgrim center, a very simple accommodation for the pilgrims who come to the abbey on at the feet of these hills, where the abbey's formal laundry, it was a steam laundry, and the house for the servants was situated. So we weren't able to save the steam laundry, which was situated here, but we managed to save the servants' homes, and it became the new dining hall and another community hall for lectures. And then you can see the four almost identical buildings that are the accommodations, the shelters, and the small at the end closest to the abbey is the chapel. Just a few pictures of the other buildings. This is the old house that we managed to save. And it was important for us to learn from tradition, to use the traditional ways of building a house, not try to copy it, but to learn from it. So for example, in-between spaces play a really important role in Hungarian architecture, because from spring to autumn, a lot of times it's raining, but it's good weather, so people can sit outside and do whatever activities they are doing outside, still protected from the rain. So this is the new community center that we built, and they really use these in-between spaces for outdoor lectures or prayers or whatever they need for during autumn and springtime. And it's also the same at the shelters, very simple way of building, traditional empty attic and roof and thick walls. But we thought that for this simple function, the architecture should be a simple answer as well. And of course, the client didn't have that much money, which is usually the thing. But somehow here, it wasn't a drawback. It somehow helped us to be just more natural or act more naturally. So sometimes it's really good that we don't have that much money. We don't spend it on stupid things. So the basic thing was to build a place where you can focus inwards. And let's return to the chapel, because that's what's made of wood. And today I would like to speak a bit more about that. We really wanted that house to be an in-between space in nature. That's not just the closest to the abbey, but also it's situated already in the forest or at the side of the forest. And we wanted, when we were there on the site, we felt already that the place was really strong. So we just wanted to have some kind of protection and some kind of spatial experience that helps you focus inwards. And we came up with the idea that it's not a classical building, it's not closed, the sun shines in it, the wind blows through it. When it's heavy rain from the side, even some rain goes in or some snow goes in. So it's really just an in-between space in nature. And we wanted to have a strong design, yet very simple one. And the act of the children, when they're putting the wooden blocks one on top of the other, was somehow the act that we wanted to have to just have one element that we put on top of the other, and quite naturally it's becoming a structure. So we used a module 15 by 15 centimeters wooden beams. They are made of three planks, so they are not twisting, so kind of glue them beams. We use larch, so it can be left there anytime and it doesn't need any paint. And the space itself is very simple, just an entrance area, an in-between area, and the central space itself with the bench around and the altar in the middle. Of course, when it's about religious architecture, the use of light and the use of the act of looking up is a quite traditional tool, as in many churches, the architects have been dealing with that. So we moved out the three architects who designed it from the office, our students from the university, a few students from Budapest as well, and a few carpenters. And we lived there for 2 weeks, which was too short, because we were working on this on and off for more than 2 years at the office on this whole site. And we finished the building in less than 2 weeks. It was really hard to keep up with the pace of how quickly it's becoming big, and sometimes I just wanted to take off a few rows and just be there a bit more. So it was really difficult to follow, but overall great experience for us. So whatever I said about the students, how much they're learning from the workshops, we learned at least that much from this construction there ourselves. We used hardwood pegs, wattle pegs. We didn't want to use any metal connection between the wood elements. So basically it's really just a pile, and the pegs are only that they're not moving apart. So all kinds of wood were around us. We were in a forest, we were building in a forest. We had wood as the mass material for the walls, but we also had wood as the connection materials, and we had big chunks and we had small ones. So all these different kinds have been put together. And this way of simplicity of putting on top of each other somehow made it a bit timeless already while working on it. So it was really nice to just stop from time to time and look at the structure then. So somehow the simplicity hopefully became the strength of the construction as well. A few generations have been working together on this construction. Some wannabe architects, some don't really know yet, some architects already. And It was a really nice mixture of people. And as I realize, when you're building something together, it's not just the building that you're building, it's your community. It was 2 years ago, and we still keep in contact, even with the carpenters who worked with us. And it was nice that our daily routine was, first we went for a prayer to the Abbey early in the morning, then we built, then we went for lunch, then we built, and in the evening we went again for the prayer together with the community of the monks. But after the third or fourth days, when the walls were big enough for us to shelter us, we didn't go up for prayer after work. We always just sat there, and even the carpenters who didn't move there, but just were there with us, they stayed. And of course, it's always a lot of fun to work, and sometimes you even make some more of it. I'm sorry you can't see the expression on the middle one's face. It's not very nice, or he doesn't really feel safe. And as I told you, it was nice to stop during the construction, and as an architect, it was an important experience for us that whenever we stopped, it felt like it was ready somehow. So it was really nice. I could have spent a day just looking at it and think about how to continue it after basically every beam, then, because it changed the whole thing, but somehow it always made it whole. And what was interesting is that when you think about how many things you miss when you're not at the construction site and you're not building it, it's scary. So how much beauty you miss when you're not there. And we had some really this post-socialist country moments when you can make a sculpture out of these guys that we found really funny. But it's really true that work, when you work with something, you appreciate it more. So work does make it better outside and inside. We tried to keep it simple, build anything according to needs. So we made a few changes, of course, in the plans, especially the roof structure. We made it much simpler on the site. However, we drew at least 10 different types of finishing it. At the office, we found another one that was even much simpler, and we didn't understand how we didn't think of that. And basically, the whole thing is covered with linseed oil just once from the outside. Even the roof is out of wooden shingles, so it's completely a wooden structure. Of course, they are put up with nails, so we didn't use wood elements, and just some pebbles around for water protection from underneath. And then I just saw a few pictures of the ready chapel in this small wood, or at the edge of the wood. Now it's growing gray. It was important for us to be it as natural as it can be, so we let it grow gray. We would like to see time, how it works with the structure. And now the roof is almost totally black. Of course, it depends on where the sun shines from and where it gets the water from. So now it's like a leopard a bit with different colors. but luckily, the Abbey likes it, and they come down here with their students, about 20 people or 25 can fit in this space. As you can see, we use the same module for everything, so for the altar and for the benches too, this 15 by 15 centimeters. And we wanted it to be nice when the sun goes around it, and we made a model to look inside, and of course played with the lamp, how it's gonna look like. But it's so much richer in true life. During the summer, the light is a bit green inside because of the surrounding trees. you can never give that back in on a picture. But so there are some planned schemes with the light and some unplanned when it's really woven through with the wood and the light. But it's also nice when the sun doesn't really shine in, when you just have these shades and the order. And sometimes everything comes together in one spot and and light fills it basically everywhere, wherever you sit. So these were a few examples of how we're dealing with wood. But I just want to show you one more, because I realized that there was another experiment in the past year with students that was really interesting and wood played a huge part in it, but in a totally different way. Last winter we built two installations with a wall structure that a few students found out that they want to use bricks and wood together, or somehow put these two together in an installation. And they called it the inverted furnace, so that you can go in and the fire is not inside, you are inside. And it was a really nice spatial experiment. And also during the night, it was a really, really intensive and interesting place to be. When it was fired up, of course, for the first time, it was really hot inside, but later on, it kept the heat for a long, long period, so for hours. Outside it was minus 15, inside it was plus 15 for 2 or 3 hours. So I know it's not timber and it's not the way we build out of wood, but somehow wood is necessary for this kind of installations as well. And I believe that we have to be open and use it in all different ways that we can do to have these incredible experiences that we can with this material. So thank you very much for your attention, and that was me.